May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, today with the Liturgy of the Palms, we mark the beginning of Holy Week. And all this week, we see the victory of Jesus in ways actually quite contrary to our preconceived notions. We begin with Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem with shouts of Hosanna as he rides a donkey instead of a war horse, proving himself to be a king who rules from a place of peace instead of war. Then we'll find later on this week on Maundy Thursday, when we commemorate Christ's final meal with his disciples before his crucifixion, and he models for us an amazing love as one who forgoes the rightful honor that he deserves as rabbi in order to do a slave's job, washing his disciples' feet. On Good Friday, turning the worldly expectations that we would have on their heads, Jesus defeats sin sacrificially, submitting himself to suffering and death on Calvary instead of demanding that all evildoers be put to death in preparation for God's righteousness. And of course, Christ defeats death itself that very first Easter by rising up in glory from Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. Definitely not what we would expect from our beloved leader who died. Today, we also use the daily office readings in lieu of the Eucharistic readings as part of Eucharistic morning prayer, so as not to jump the gun on the Passion. And I believe it's important to maintain the liturgical integrity of the Triduum, as it is known, the three biggies of Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. It's hard to swallow this whole week in one fell swoop by skipping over Thursday and thinking so deeply on the crucifixion today, hot on the heels of Jesus' palm-festooned, glorious arrival, without a bit of spiritual indigestion. No, there's a wisdom to living out the last week of Jesus' life before his resurrection in real time instead of in the compressed way that we usually do for his life the rest of the liturgical year. So, with these thoughts in mind, how Jesus wins the victory this week over sin and death in unexpected ways, and how that we need to walk with Christ each day with a kind of vigilance and intentionality that helps us process that victory. We find St. Paul talking with his young protege, Timothy, in the lesson that Susie just read for us this morning. He encourages Timothy to fight the good fight of the faith. Other translations simply say, fight the good fight of faith. No the in there. The first translation emphasizes faith as a deposit that's been entrusted to us, as a given, as a gift, as it were. And the second one emphasizes faith as an action of believers that empowers us and emboldens us to combat whatever spiritual enemies that may come our way. Both are genuine aspects of what faith is. Faith is God's gift to us, something precious that we should guard, that we should treasure. Likewise, faith is the very catalyst that motivates us to live a life that's worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who actually Paul depicts in pretty astronomical terms in his letter to Timothy, as we find out. So the compilers of the Daily Office Lectionary lodge this reading from Timothy at the beginning of Holy Week so that we might appreciate the initial fight that got this whole thing started. Jesus fought the good fight of faith and won. But Jesus didn't win by rallying a mighty army. He didn't win by insisting on first-class treatment at his last Passover meal. He didn't win by opening the jaws of the grave to swallow up sinful Jews and Gentiles alike into some sense of judgment before God's return on that Good Friday. And he didn't win just by being a noteworthy teacher or historical figure whose burial shrine we can still visit, like Confucius or Muhammad, and expect their body to be there. No. He won by turning every lie that we bought about will to power upside down. Instead of war, he brings peace. Instead of royal treatment, he models servanthood. Instead of vengeance against the wicked, he offers mercy. Instead of the finality of death, resurrection. So, like Jesus and St. Timothy, we fight the good fight of faith in emulation of the fight that Jesus fought for us. As the old hymn words go, "For not with swords loud crashing or roll of stirring drums, but deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly kingdom comes." So, Lenny, if not by violence or vengeance or demanding the world to submit to God's way, how do we fight this fight of faith? Well, the good fight of faith certainly is not won by the political maneuverings of the Sadducees. It's not won by the willful ignorance of Pilate. It's not won by the self-righteousness of the Pharisees. It's not won by the terrorism of the Zealots. It's not won by the complicity of everyday Jews and Gentiles who simply submit to the Roman way of doing things. And it's certainly not won in the betrayal of Judas or the cowardice of Peter. We win when we take hold of the faith for ourselves, as Paul admonishes his young fellow laborer, Timothy. We win when our confession that Jesus is Lord is as bold and as public as Timothy's. We win when we follow Christ's own example in the face of opposition. And we win when we keep in the forefront of our brains just how exalted our Lord Jesus Christ is. In the same words from St. Paul, "He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, it is he who alone has immortality and dwells in inapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion." So we don't just passively depend upon what we've heard in church growing up. We have to take hold of the faith for ourselves. We must nourish it with prayer, with scripture, with sacrament, with service to others. We must examine our hearts to see where we might need to grow in our faith. We need to keep steady in gathering with the rest of God's family for worship and study and encouragement. And also, we don't just believe it quietly. Let your testimony about who Jesus is to you be bold and public. I know Bishop Dorsey has made the public witness of our faith in both word and deed his primary drumbeat since he's been elected our bishop. Likewise, our new presiding bishop, Michael, has also been driving home the importance of evangelism. And maybe you've heard me mentioning the necessity of inviting, welcoming, and helping other people connect to the church maybe once or twice in the pulpit here. If Jesus is a big deal to you, it should be obvious to others. And if others see Jesus living and active in your life, his love will woo other people's hearts to follow him. Then as far as emulating Jesus is concerned, remember how he showed compassion, forgiveness, and forbearance with the weaknesses of others. Also remember how he never flinched at God's central command to love wholeheartedly, yet never let mere human traditions usurp his Father's commandments. Justice was never compromised, but yet mercy still multiplied beyond our wildest dreams. As we join in God's work wherever we see it and imitate the holy character of Jesus, his victory becomes ours. And finally, we must keep in mind just how exalted our Master and Messiah truly is. Jesus is more than a baby in a manger. He's more than a good teacher. He's even more than a crucified Savior. Jesus Christ is risen. He is the exalted Lord at God's right hand in glory. And we await his return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Any view of Jesus less than that is incomplete and will fail to keep us going when the going gets tough. As we join in the good fight of faith with Jesus this Holy Week, remember to attend to those disciplines that exercise you spiritually. Remember to let your light shine as brightly as it can before others. Remember to emulate the love of Jesus just as you've experienced it. And never forget just how amazing a Lord and Savior we have, who made us, saves us, and makes perfection possible in our lives. Let us pray. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.